This is session 4 of the teaching about God's perspective on money and finances. The last time we finished up talking about tithe, and we went into this concept or this biblical principle of sowing and reaping, the principle of giving and receiving, and we left off at Haggai chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Turn there with me, if you will. And we're going to look at what happens when folks don't participate with God in this matter of giving and receiving. Haggai 1, starting in verse 3, "Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate?" It's talking about God's house or the temple. "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but you harvest little. You eat, but there's never enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but nobody's warm enough. And he who earns wages, only to put it in a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house, which sits desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. Therefore, I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and on all the labor of your hands." God's painting a picture here, what they had done. We're going to see later that you use offerings to build a church or to build a temple. And then, as we learned earlier, tithes are used to bring goods and money and food into that temple. Well, they didn't have a temple to tithe to. They had let it run down, so they were deficient in both tithes and offerings. And the principle here is that God wants to bless, but if you're not going along with him and planting some seed, he's not going to be able to bless you. You're going to be cursed, as we found out in Malachi 3. We looked at Malachi 3, verses 10 through 12, and it talks about God's normal state of blessing is just to open the windows of heaven and pour down on us blessings that are so abundant, we have to turn around and give some of it away. We can't hold on to all of it. But if we won't tithe, if we won't bring the money and the goods into his storehouse, his local church, then we literally curse ourselves, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it. We're cut off. And so I want us to look at this concept of sowing and reaping with what Haggai had said here. And the idea is, if you don't sow, you can't expect to reap, whether it's sowing tithes or sowing offerings. So I want to tell you about a corn farmer, a maize farmer, okay? He comes to know the Lord. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. He starts going to his church and really starts getting excited about the message he's hearing. He's hearing the prosperity message about how God wants to bless him. God wants to open the windows of heaven, pour out blessings he can't contain. And he's really getting excited about this. He comes to know the Lord about harvest time last year. And he listens to all the unbalanced faith and prosperity teaching, right? And but he's ready. He's ready for God to bless him, so he'll get rich. And maybe he can get rich without much work, without much sacrifice. All he has to do is have faith, right? Well, when his corn crop starts to come in, It is truly a bountiful harvest. And I mean, he takes that corn and he makes roasted corn. He makes cream corn. He makes ugali. He makes tortillas. He makes anything you can think of that you can make with corn, with maize. And he eats that and his family enjoys it. And they're really praising God for all of God's blessings. Well, about the time to plant for the next year's crop, he finishes off the last kernel of corn from this most recent harvest. And when planting time comes, he gathers his neighbors around. They read the word. They read about how God wants to bless and how God wants to prosper. And they march on the property and they claim the blessings of God on the property. They speak to the ground. They command the corn to come forth. They read Philippians 4:19 that God is going to bless us based not on our needs, but based on his riches and glory. And the corn's going to grow according to God's riches. Now, he doesn't have any kernels of corn to plant right now, okay, because he ate them all. But that's okay. He's not worried about that because God takes care of the birds. Surely God's going to take care of this faith-filled child of the king believer, right? Now, others have to plant seed, but that's different for him because he's got faith. He's got a positive confession. He's ready to go. And so come harvest time then, the next year, what kind of a crop do you think he's going to have? How did God bless him during that season? Well, of course, he doesn't have anything, right? Now, everybody's going to say, oh, Canon, then that's a ridiculous illustration. Everybody knows that you have to plant seed before you can reap a harvest. But they'll do exactly what this farmer did with their tithes and with their offerings, just like Haggai was talking about here. They won't pay tithes, they won't plant generous offerings, and then they wonder why God's not blessing them and why they're struggling. Yeah, but Ken and Dan, you don't understand. I have bills to pay. I don't have much for offerings. Can you imagine a real farmer saying, I just can't afford to save aside at least the seed that I need for next year's planting? It would never do that. Many of you listening have gardens. Some of you are farmers. You'd never do that. Of course not. You're always going to save back some seed for planting. You've got to have that seed so you'll have a harvest later on. But if you're not doing what God commands you to do with your money, then no prayer from your bishop, from your pastor, from me, anybody else is going to help you. God Almighty himself can't do anything about it to prosper you because you haven't been obedient in tithing, offerings, and alms. It's a matter of giving and receiving or sowing and reaping, and you have to start with sowing. I want to give you a couple examples of the primary ways of sowing into the kingdom of God, and one of them is offerings, and the other is alms. Offerings are money that's given to the local church or to other ministries. It's often offerings that are for a special purpose. Turn with me to Exodus 35. Exodus chapter 35, we're going to start in verse 21 and read a few of those verses. We're going to look at a place where offerings were used for a special purpose. In this case, it was to build a temple, build a church. Maybe sometimes offerings are used to support a missionary or for a mission fund or to build a retreat center, or it's a special project. That's what offerings are for. Exodus 35, and let's start in verse 21. Let's read verses 21 through 25. Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. Then all whose hearts moved them both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and bracelets, all articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. Every man who had in his possession blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and porpoise skins brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver and bronze brought the Lord's contribution. And every man who had in his possession acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the skilled women spun with their hands and brought what they spun in blue, purple, scarlet material, and fine linen. And then skipping down to verse 29, the Israelites, all the men and the women, whose hearts moved them to bring material for all the work of the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, they brought a freewill offering to the Lord. So this was a situation where they didn't use the tithe to build the temple. They used freewill offerings. Offerings don't belong to God, and therefore they're not considered holy. That is, with one exception, and I'll tell you about that. If you pledge an amount of money or some assets to a project, at that point you have vowed that money to God, and at that point it's His. And let me give you a little warning. It's better not to have pledged than it is to pledge and not pay. However, oftentimes, it does take a commitment on our part. We have to pledge something so we get our faith in gear so that then God can turn around and start blessing us so that we can then meet that pledge. I've watched God do that many times. Say, I want you to give $500. Lord, I don't have $500 for that project. Well, you're going to have $500 in 2 months. I have no idea, Lord, where that's going to come from, but I trust you that you're telling me to pledge $500 in 2 months, and I know that you're going to bless. And sure enough, things will start happening, and God will bless, and the money will be there. One time, the Lord had told us He wanted us to do a certain project. It was taking a certain amount of money every month, and then He said, okay, it's time to end that project. And it was taking a lot each month to do that project. And I thought, woohoo, we're going to have all this money left over. We can do all this other stuff with this money that's been coming in for this pledge and this project. And I'm telling you, the month that the project was over with, that money dried up. That income stream that God had given us to cover that pledge dried up. Why? It's because it was God's doing. It was God's blessing to make sure that I could meet that pledge. Anyway, just a little warning about pledging money. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And Paul here presents a concept of sometimes when you want to give, especially when you want to give to a big project, you might need to space it out. You might need to collect from yourself a little bit every week or on a regular basis so that when the time comes, you'll have the money for that offering that you feel like the Lord has called you to give. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 3, he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of the week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper. Remember the offerings that they were taking up for the tent in when we were reading about that in Exodus? And it said everybody did that as they purposed in their heart. It's a completely free will offering. There's no compulsion to give. But if you want to give, if the Lord tells you he wants you to give, and you purpose in your heart to give, then God's going to prosper you so you can give. And what Paul's talking about here, on the first day of the week, each of you set aside or save what the Lord has prospered toward that collection so that when I come, when I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gifts on to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in trouble. Something had happened. There was a famine, I believe, and they needed some extra money. And so this was a special offerings project, and it was completely free will on the part of those that are giving, but it was God behind it saying, I'm going to prosper you so that you can do this. But anyway, the concept is the idea of giving it on a regular basis to putting aside some every week or every day or every month or whatever the time frame is for you. Some feel like that they should give something in every service. Well, if I'm in church, I'm going to give some. And I don't think that's what offerings are for. Offerings are about being obedient to God and what He wants us to give, and about us obeying our heart when we have compassion to give offerings for others. Some will quote Deuteronomy 16:16 that talks about don't go before the Lord empty-handed. They've taken that scripture out of context. That doesn't mean every time you go to church you have to put something in the offering. If you have tithe that are due, when you go to church, you need to pay that tithe, and you need to do that first. And then if the Lord leads you to put more money in for offerings, then you need to do that. And you do what the Lord tells you to do, nothing more and nothing less. Debbie and I give offerings when we're sure we've heard from God. Otherwise, we're being disobedient if we give and we haven't heard from Him. Remember, I'm just a steward of God's assets on this earth, and I have to be obedient to use those assets the way He wants me to use them, and that includes in offerings. It's not tithes. Tithes belong to God. That's real easy. We're talking about offerings now, and I have to make sure that when I give an offering, I'm doing it because my heart says I want to do it and because the Lord says He wants me to do it. Let me give you some examples of offerings that work really well with this concept of set aside a little every week or every month so that you'll have enough for the project of the pledge. Building fund, just like they were doing in the temple, set aside a little every month, maybe once a month, and then collect that on a regular basis. Special needs for the diocese. A medical bill, starting a school for the church, a monthly pledge to a missionary. This is the way you can say, I'd like to give this missionary a certain amount this year. Well, give it to them a little bit every month if you can, or set it aside every month so that you can give it to them once a year. A mission trip. Maybe the Lord has called you to go on a mission trip. We need missionaries in the United States. You need to come here and do some evangelizing and help us in the kingdom of God. Help us bring revival in this place. And so you start putting aside $1,000 a week for a mission trip. Well, in a year, you've got $50,000 you're at least closer to being able to go. And so maybe the Lord says, no, don't go this year, but I want you to take what you've saved and I want you to give it as seed for somebody else that I want to send this time. That's a good example of contributing regularly. Another one, another good example of setting aside regularly is about investing, saving, saving for retirement, saving for emergencies, saving for school fees, a new house. But that's a different topic. That's not about offerings. And we'll come back to that in a little bit. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians 8. And I want to go back to this concept of giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. 2 Corinthians 8. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. This is a situation where the Macedonians actually begged Paul, even though they were quite poor, they begged Paul to be able to contribute to this fund that was going to help the saints in Jerusalem. And we will come back to that and see what Paul said about that in the next session.